Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Tuesday, March 18th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we'll be reading from the Big Book. We're on page 84, the first paragraph. Are these extravagant promises through that one paragraph ending with, you work for them? And the comments, oh, Lordy, my computer went to sleep. Sorry. Oh, Lordy, help me. There it is. If we work for them, then the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kathy B., the 12 Traditions, Robin B. The readers of the text are Dana P., Janelle P., and Alex K. The share ID for Monday, March 17th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,259. That's 22259. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, March 18th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,262. That's 22262. Our newcomer greeter is Diane B., and our announcements person is Shelley E., and thank you all for your service. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees. Let's see. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I will now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Oklahoma. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. I will now ask Robin B. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Robin B. in Ohio, compulsive overeater. 12 Traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. too, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is his desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual
anonymity
foundation of all. Thank you, Moe. These traditions ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve in my past.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin B. It's a difficult word. All right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we are on page 84, the first paragraph down, beginning with, are these extravagant promises, through that one paragraph, ending with, if we work for them. The comments are on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Dana P. to get us started. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. It's Dana P. I'm in California. I'm really grateful to be here today. So I'm going to go ahead and start with this paragraph here on page 84, first paragraph. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. This is such a powerful and such strong words here. I'm just amazed. And please time me, Mo, because I could.
I got it.
Yeah, I could spend the whole day talking about this short, short little paragraph, these powerful words. Extravagant, you know, that's so over the top, extreme. I won't go into the dictionary definition because I kind of had to weed it out in terms of what that really means in this case, but it's extreme, something that isn't really possible beyond. And promise, I mean, a promise, that's like a miracle. And then there's the next word down here, it says always, always. So the miracles will always materialize, appear. And then there's that one little word, which interestingly enough precedes the following paragraph that begins with if. And in that paragraph, our paragraph of the promises, it says, if we are painstaking, what that means is that we have to work, right? And painstaking is diligent and thorough. That took me back to page 58, where it talks about that we have to be thorough from the very start. So that's in how it works. And now we're in action, right? With this beautiful bridge paragraph between the steps 1 through 9. And now we're moving into our way of life, which is step 10, 11, and 12. And what that says is that it continues, right? So again, it's hard for me to stay in this one little bridge place. But that's the interesting thing about this paragraph where it says sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. What I found about myself, and I just had some surgery last week that requires me to be very, very still. And if I'm not, there are potential side effects. And anytime I start trying to speed up, the side effects happen. And so it's so remarkable to me because I was asking the God of my understanding to teach me how to be still, how to be quiet. And that's what this whole paragraph is about, you know, this idea of time. And in God, there is no time. So we just have to keep moving forward. And that word in our page 164 reading says we continue to trudge, right? And it sounds really kind of boring, kind of painful, but that's what I'm going to continue to do, is to take one step slowly and with great awareness, because that's what I have to do to keep myself sane. And that's some of the promises, you know, freedom, happiness, which is a joy, no regrets, serenity, peace, that my life benefits others, that I become useful, that my attitude changes, means I go from a negative, fear-based way of being to a positive way of being based in love, and I have security in community, and my life becomes about people and relationships, not things. So thank you for all that, and I'll pass. Love to hear what everyone else has to say.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dana P. from California, for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this short, little, but powerful paragraph?
Chanel T.
Deb E. in Israel.
Larry G.
Deb E.
I got you, Deb. Larry.
Juanis in.
Juanis.
Roz G.
Anyone else? Barb G.
Roz.
Oh, Roz. Sorry, Roz.
Okay.
Anyone else? All right. My group is Chanel T, Debbie, Larry G, Juanis N, and Roz G. Everyone else mute except Chanel T. And good morning, Chanel.
Hi. Thank you so much for your service, as always, Mo. This is Chanel T in Washington State. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, and I am a grateful compulsive eater in recovery today by the grace of God. This paragraph, these promises blow me away every time. Every time. And I heard, so this is not cross-talking, y'all, because it was before the meeting. I heard someone seeking information. Are the promises somewhere here, or is there a book about the promises? And I'm not quoting exactly, but I love that someone would seek that and go after it. Because as a matter of fact, this entire book is full of promises. These promises are beautiful, but this entire book is full of them from way even before the doctor's opinion. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I do need to go after it with that zeal. Even when I don't feel like it, I need to do it. That's my part. My higher power doesn't need me, but I need my higher power. And so I was so hopeless coming in here. Oh, the beginning of 2023, I was so hopeless. I was so at the end of me. I was completely at the end of me. I had no answers anymore. The food that had been my solution for so long was killing me. I was spiritually dying, and I would have been physically dying, and I was. It just was going to be a very, very slow, very, very painful death. And I had lost myself somewhere in the process. I was in excruciating pain. And I don't mean physically. There was some physical pain, but I mean spiritually. Is there anything more than this? Can I please have freedom from this, God, of my understanding, of my misunderstanding? And it was incredible that I'm forever grateful that my higher power directed me quite directly, I might add, to come back to this program and just surrender and just do what it says in this book, which I do imperfectly, not my abstinence, but my recovery. It's imperfect. I make mistakes, but thank God I do my part and my higher power does all the rest. And these miracles, the promises are miracles for me, not just these, the others all through the book are coming true, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. I am eternally grateful. Thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Chanel T. from Washington. Next is Deb E., followed.
This is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. Thanks, Mo. It's very exciting to be back on this meeting. I haven't been on in a long time just because this it's just been too hard with my schedule, so I've been at different meetings, but I really missed it, and the difference in time change these last few weeks is my favorite today, so very excited to be here, and what a paragraph to be on for. Are these extravagant promises? Because they sure sound like they are, right? But they're not. They really have been fulfilled, and I like how it says sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, because the first thing I think of when I read that is for some people it happens quickly, for some people it happens slowly. You know, there are people who are like struck abstinent and there are people who it takes longer to get abstinent. But I feel like it also means, like for me, is some things have come quickly and some things have come more slowly. But they all really do come true if we work for them. And for me, that's a reminder that I have to put the work in. I can't just like, you know, have this connection with my higher power and hope that everything will get taken care of. I have to have that connection. I have to nurture that connection. I have to continue to develop that connection. Like I've had to continue the same way, like the stuff I did to maintain the absence I had, you know, over 20 years ago and today is a lot more. I also have to keep growing my relationship with my higher power. I have to keep deepening it. And I go through phases where it's like, oh, I realize I'm at a point where it's like, oh, I need to deepen this connection. And I've been in that recently. And I felt like I was stuck with it for a little while. And then I got some answers. And it's just amazing to get like to a whole new level, I feel like, with my higher power. It just reminds me of that, just that partnership I have with my higher power, that like I get the help, but I have to put the work in first, and then I'll always receive. And it's up to me to be aware enough to notice what I'm receiving and to be humble enough to notice when even the tiniest things are gifts, and to not miss them, and to not notice that they're there. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deb E. from Israel. Larry G., followed by Juanice N. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. Yes, my name is Larry G. I'm from California. When we say, when we read this in meetings, are these extravagant promises? By the way, that's a trick question. It's a trick question. There's only one answer to it if you put the time and effort in, and that is, no, they're not. I just want to say, hell no, they're not extravagant. These promises, many, many more. The only requirement is I surrender. I want to have a shout out to joy and meaning and contentment, happiness. We have, you know, us OA folk, we have all these cute little euphemisms and sayings, and we talk about we have to, only one requirement, it's got to be work, 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 right? Work, work, work. And it's true in the beginning. For me, the work is, I got to detox. I have to detox off of flour and sugar. I mean, that is essential. And then once I surrender, and I stop fighting everyone and everything, including food, it actually is effortless. I start getting results, and I can't wait to delve into the next step. Even though it requires writing, even though it requires some reading, homework assignment from sponsor, I can't wait to get into it because the results are these extravagant promises. And they start to unfold immediately. You know, God does not make too hard of terms for us. All is required is a little crack in the door. This is my belief. This is just my little belief that if this is all about work, 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 it would be like a prison sentence. It would be like working on a chain gang, cracking cement. I might as well just go out and get loaded. If that's all it's all about, it's going to meetings every day and work with sponsors, sponsees, and making phone calls and doing the steps and reading and writing and 24/7. I might as well just get loaded. But we have the vision for you, the chapter. Read it. It's really beautiful. There is a life after putting the food down. Many of us take on new careers, new relationships. New relationships are renewed. New relationships are born. Our careers, leaving, like I did, a career that was killing me, a job that once loved me that stopped loving me at the end. And life becomes just a joy. Even in our worst moments, my darkest moments, I just always affirm that in my darkest moments, the colors are still there, Larry. The vibrant colors are still there. You just can't see them. And even those moments where I'm really down and out, and I have the alcoholic brain is just beating me up. Those moments are even better than my best moments when I was a producer of Confusion. And with that, I pass to you. Thank you. Thank you, Mel.
Thank you very much, Larry G. from California. Up next is Juanice N., followed by Roz G. And after Roz, I'll take another lineup. We are on page 84. First paragraph, are these extravagant promises? And they end with, if we work for them. All right, Juanice, good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Can I be heard, y'all?
Very clearly.
Okay, good. Okay, oh boy. Thank you so much for this meeting and for all of the amazing shares that I've heard this morning that has helped me. I'm looking at this part where it says they are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. You know, I have definitely been the slow one. I have definitely been the slow one. I have been around 12-step for a lot of years. And it wasn't until going back into 1989. And it really wasn't until February of 2020 when I came into a vision for you, and this is the truth, that I began the journey of literally living this thing out, of not listening to it, learning about it, knowing it, quoting it, but actually living it. And that is when the promises started to happen in my life. You know, it was slowly. And it's such a, the promise, the hope that I read in this sentence is, okay, yeah, because some people seem to get it all, but that wasn't my story, you know. But as long as I stick with it, as long as I'm persistent, as long as I just don't give up, just don't give up. Just keep after it, keep after it. Keep asking questions. Keep seeking. Seek, 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 seek. Because remember, God could and would if he was sought. As long as I don't give up, and I thank God I didn't give up, and just kept seeking and kept fighting for it, kept working for it. What else can I do? Where can I try to grow my spiritual life? You know, how can I change? How can I grow up? How can I learn how to keep my mouth shut? How can I learn how to treat people differently? How can I learn how to treat myself differently? You know, there's so much to learn here. But as long as I am not trying to have a middle-of-the-road solution, as long as I am willing to put in the work, it might take longer than somebody else, but the promises are still here for people like me, too, where it was sometimes slowly. That's all for me, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Juanice N. And up next is Roz G., and after Roz, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in Palmdale, California, which is in the beautiful and wonderful city of Los Angeles County, actually. And I'd like to share about something that happened to me over the weekend that has to do with these promises and the sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. I've been in the OA for 21 years, just about, and Al-Anon for 40. And I won't talk about that program. I just wanted to mention that I've been working programs for since I was 19 years old. And the biggest resentment I had in my life is my eldest sister, my jealousy and my envy, and my not being able to measure up to her. And so over many years and writing many inventories and doing the painstaking work that this book talks about, I finally got a chance to make an amends to her last night. I went to a workshop, a 12-step workshop over the weekend, and I had some other amends to make about inappropriate relationships that I was in. And the GPS asked me if I wanted to take a quicker route. The GPS, the God positioning system under the guise of my phone map. And so it took me in front of the building of where I had my very first inappropriate relationship. So God showed me, okay, when you're ready to read these letters, there's a place you're going to go to do it. I hadn't seen that place in 30 years. It was like a ghost town. And then after working with my sponsor, I called my sister. She just happened to be visiting my mother yesterday, and she came over yesterday. Last night, my sister and I spoke for 2 hours in my living room with my dogs here, which was like this beautiful buffer. And I apologized, and I told her everything about how I, you know, all the envy, all the jealousy, all what I couldn't measure up. And you know how the big book says we don't mention theirs? Well, she mentioned hers. She told me, I'm sorry that I'm trying to, and that I'm not telling you the truth about what's really happening in my life. And she told me some things that were so powerfully, you know, like, she's like this. She wants to mask the pain. But the point is that we both got on our knees. We got on the floor. And we prayed and we asked God to restore our relationship. This is over 20 years of OA. So yeah, sometimes sick quickly and sometimes slowly. But I had to have the courage to admit to her and to God. I confessed to a priest. I went to a priest and confessed it all on Saturday. And I don't even practice that religion, but I needed to do it. So this works. And now I have a new relationship with my sister, and it's going to have to build, but all the shit is out. And now we're here with a new beginning. But I have to keep in fit spiritual condition or else it'll come back. And I have to stay abstinent. This doesn't give me permission to go back into the food. It just gives me permission to move on, thank you, and use the past as my greatest asset. I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. from Southern California. And although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? First paragraph on page 84, are these extravagant promises and it ends with, if we work for them.
Linda G. in Alabama.
Linda G. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Press star 1 to unmute.
Tony H. in Connecticut.
Tony H. Connecticut.
Lynn D. California.
Lynn D. in
yes.
California. We have Linda G., Tony H., Lynn D. Anyone else in this group?
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. California. All right, we'll go with that group. Linda G., Tony H., Lynn D., and Barbara A. Linda G., you're up first. Good morning.
Hi, this is Linda G. in Alabama. I'm a recovering anorexic and compulsive overeater, recovering one day at a time. And this paragraph is especially meaningful to me because I am beginning to discover the promises coming true one day at a time for me. And I'm learning it's about finding a balance between the two parts of me, the compulsive overeater and the recovering anorexic. And I've been struggling with that for months, trying to figure out how to approach these two issues. And last night I discovered it's about finding a balance between the two. And I am very grateful for that. I've been seeing that it's an issue of balance for me, of finding what works and balancing it out. And that's my solution, is seeking a balance. My program is about seeking a balance in my abstinence. And these promises are beginning to come true for me. Yesterday was a difficult day. My husband had to go for a test on his heart, and I had to leave the results up to my higher power and his higher power, and it turned out great. He didn't need surgery, and we were concerned that he might, but he was able to come home and just rest, and I was so thrilled, I was so relieved, and I was so grateful, so very grateful that he was able to come home with me and not have to stay in the hospital for a procedure. And I was just so very happy that these promises are coming true for me a day at a time. And I was able to just be grateful and relax in these promises coming true. They're just materializing for me a day at a time. And I'm able to see that. Thank you very much. And I'm able to be grateful for that. And I'm able to rest in that. And thank you very much for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Linda G. from Alabama. Up next is Tony H., followed by Lynn D. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. This is Tony H., recovering overeater. Yeah, so this paragraph is amazing to me.
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah?
Yes? I'm here.
Okay.
Tony?
I think I'm good. Can you hear me now?
Yes, you're a little muffled. Is there any way you can clear up that sound?
Yeah, I'm on speaker. I'll take it off.
Okay, yeah. Speaker doesn't work.
Is that better?
Much better. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, thank you. I'm Tony H., a compulsive overeater in Connecticut, and I just love how this paragraph seems to be, for me, it's so succinct, and it says, like, what I'm holding on to. So I've been coming to OA this time around for about almost a year, and my abstinence date is March 1st, so I've been back and forth and slipping and all that kind of stuff. You know, what? After listening to people on this meeting, I remember that, you know, I went to OA meetings a long time ago. I don't even remember how long ago it was, but I wasn't ready to do anything, and it wasn't. I wasn't hopeless. I wasn't ready to surrender. I'll put it that way. And this time, you know, some more stuff has happened, and dealing with different issues, and I decided I do belong here, and I am ready to do this, to work this. And listening to this paragraph this morning, just it's a little overwhelming for me. And that too is part of, as my sponsor would say, that's part of putting down the food, because I'm aware of the feelings of hopelessness, hopefulness, and gratefulness. This call has just been amazing, in the shares, and I've taken a lot of notes, and some of you probably I'll be trying to call. But I definitely love this reading and this meeting, and that was the last thing I wanted to share is just encouragement for anybody who's new. Whatever it takes, keep coming back and keep working the program. And that's just, it's just awesome. So thank you very much for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Tony H. from Connecticut. Next is Lynn D., followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Mo. My name is Lynn D. I'm from San Diego, California, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. It works if we work it. You know, I used to sit in OA meetings when I was younger and just, like, why is nothing happening to me? You know, I was going to meetings. Like, what more did you want from me? And I didn't get it. And I had to have this, like, spiritual experience of, like, just being super vulnerable and connecting with somebody in program, and they're like, you need to get a sponsor. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I did that. And then I thought, you know, then I thought I was working the program. So I had a sponsor and I was going to meetings. What do you want from me? And, you know, it's like, I sat there for years, like, talk about sometimes slowly, like years and years, and nothing's happening to me. But you know, it did happen slowly, and I kind of had to, you know, then work the steps, you know, and figure out some things and gain awareness and gain spirituality and find my higher power. I mean, that took, you know, years as well, higher power that I could be doing business with and trusted and could work with and open up and want in my life and go to first, right, instead of, you know, gossiping or any other method I thought that spirituality was. So I'm constantly, you know, I have to do the work. And sometimes I don't really like the word work. I think it confuses my brain. And so I just use the word action. I think action is a more loving and kind term for me, because I know what action is. I know how what it looks and feels like, and it seems a little less daunting than work. So I know if I do a little bit of action, a lot of things, you know, the miracles will happen for me. And being in that spirituality and that connection requires a lot of work sometimes. But if I can just be in that action and continuing to strengthen my connection with my higher power, I see much more results and awareness that I know the program is working miracles in my life, and many, many miracles, like so many. So I also think that there's an awareness now that when I'm working the program or doing action or steps in the program, that there's this little push, you know, like just pass it to others, just be there, open up, be vulnerable to people in programs, so that way that you can share your strengths and hope and experience. Because it's really when people did that to me that I found the most success and relatability, and then I could then pass it to myself and not be so hard on myself. Anyways, thank you, Mo. That'll pass.
Yeah. You're welcome, Lynn. Thank you very much, Lynn D. from California. Up next is Barbara A., and after Barbara, I may be able to take one or two more people. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. So grateful to be on the meeting today. It's been over a week since I have shared. And it was a week ago Monday, I remember we started on the paragraph, and I was thinking, gosh, it's taken a whole week to go through this paragraph line by line and really understanding. I mean, I've been here with vision for a while, but don't truly remember reading this part of it where we just took our time to go through each line. And I understand how important it is to absorb this slowly. And to really, and I said this last week, to come in, sit down, come all the way in, sit all the way down, listen. Because last week I thought, oh, we read the whole paragraph, and I was commenting on the whole paragraph. And then I realized we're taking this sentence by sentence so we can really absorb and share and experience other people's, that the promises have happened, that people are sharing their strength, their hope, their experience, and how this has helped me with my sponsoring. You know, when I became a sponsor, I thought I had to be this know-it-all, that I had to be the therapist, the one that could answer all the questions. No, I share my experience, strength, and hope. I share how these promises are working in my life, and hope that that can be an example for someone, that working the program will give you this same outcome. If you work, you will experience these promises. It's been an aha moment. I hear people say it all the time, been in this program over 25 years. Working the steps through this way of reading the big book, sometimes just sentence by sentence, to really absorb and understand, is the beauty of this program, of this way we work the big book. Always so grateful that I have a place to come. Thank you for all the volunteers who do the work. Volunteering is near and dear to my heart. I understand how hard it is to get volunteers, and I'm just grateful because I can share this program. That's it. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara A. from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I have time for one or two more shares, depending on the time.
Denise H.
Denise H. All right, let's go with you, Denise.
Okay, thank you. I'm Denise H. from Southwest Virginia. And it's funny, I was just talking to my sponsor the other day about the work involved in this program. And it is really work. I didn't want to do it. I think when I first came into OA, I was just going to get it by osmosis because I kept hearing people say, keep coming back, keep coming back. And I kept coming back, but I didn't do the work. And now I see that the work that began for me in doing the fourth step was grueling and grinding. And I had to dig deep into my soul, my heart, my thoughts, and what it really meant to be, for example, dishonest. I was dishonest. I'm not talking cash register dishonest, but dishonesty in the terms of, you know, I didn't tell my husband that he was, you know, unfair, unreasonable, and I just, you know, kind of knuckled under and took it, and that didn't work. And so I see now that the work that is really involved, and I don't want to scare any newcomers off, really does involve introspection and connection with God and asking God to help you with this this searching deep within to identify the character defects and the shortcomings and all of that. And so for me, in any case, it wasn't that I was going to ever get it by osmosis, by just keep coming back and listening, but I actually had to participate in my own recovery. So with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Denise H. And we have time for a two-minute share if somebody would like to take it.
Agnes A.
Agnes A, you've got it. Agnes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Let's see. The sentence, I guess, they will always materialize if we work for them, kind of resonates with me this morning, because I have a history of relapse. I've been in the program for over 30 years or thereabouts. And, you know, when I feel like I haven't done well in terms of squeaky clean abstinence, I've just never left, because there is, you know, there is so much more in this program than pounds lost, right? And it just seems like all the steps have promises attached to them that even when my abstinence is not squeaky clean, you know, I'm feeling the joys of the program, the serenity, the peace that passes all understanding, you know, the intuition that tells me the next step when I pause and I pray. And it's just when I'm not doing so great and I'm not in a wonderful place, it's because I am not doing what the program requires. You know, they will materialize if only I work hard for them. And I can only do that, be willing to be willing, when I accept the grace of God and take the next indicated step. It does work, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Agnes A., and thank you all for your shares on this little short, powerful paragraph. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Fennell T. to read A Vision for You, page 164.
Thank you, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.